listening to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast, where we're going to go ahead and review our Week 5 rankings. We'll give some player insight behind those rankings, and then we're going to get the band back together for our first Getting Drafty on the Draft App segment since Week 1. I'm ready to get drafty, Dan. How about yourself?
You know it, Bob. Let's do it.
Getting good to be back. So really drafty.
Getting so drafty.
Yeah, so
as
we're recording this, we should let it be known that we were recording in the second quarter of the Seahawks-Rams game, and this is a big game for you and I because we got some key pieces going in our battle of the undefeateds in our league of record.
Absolutely. I'm currently riding the Russ bus, and he's looking pretty solid. And you've got touchdown Toddy going. So this is kind of, I mean, it's my, you know, quarterback versus your main, one of your main running backs. So this could kind of set the table for the weekend. And I'll have to be honest with you, I have been pleasantly surprised where I drafted Russell Wilson, the return I've been getting out of that guy. He's been stellar this season.
Yeah, I think this is the first year in maybe 3 years I didn't get him in the league of records. So my heart aches a little bit knowing that I'm going against him right now as we speak.
But we also both have a piece of Mr. Wilson, in our Dynasty League. So, you know, and we're looking for Brandon Cooks to maybe bounce back, but Goff has been terrible lately.
If we're going to get punny right now, has he been pretty goffle?
Yeah, he's been goffle.
Yeah, so I saw, it's funny, as just let it be known, I think we've discovered what the possible audio issues are. Comcast internet is not performing very comtastic at my house. So in the middle,
would you say it's being pretty goffle?
Yes, I would, Comcast. Get your stuff figured out. So in the middle of me hooking up another solution to get the internet back in a better spot where we record at here, somebody I saw put out a tweet that said, Russell with another touchdown.
Yep, DK Metcalf with a long bomb off the play action from the Russ bus. Boom.
So, yeah, somebody put out the tweet, is Goff turning into the new Blake Bortles since Bortles is on the – he's the backup of the Rams now. So I found that pretty funny. So,
and we'll just say, no, he's not. He's not the new Bortles. Although last week to throw for 500 yards and the put up the fantasy numbers he had was, needless to say, a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, so without any further ado, let's go ahead, Dan, and dive into our rankings and get started with the quarterback.
Let's do it.
Quarterback.
All right, if you're new to the rankings, what we do is I try to shoot for every Wednesday, put out our rankings on Twitter. We release the link to it. It's at NotTakesFF, NotTakesFF on Twitter. Provide a link using an Adobe platform. So we create a new link every week with more of an interactive type of feel to the rankings. We do the top 25 for quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. We give the top 12 for defenses. So number one this week and every week. I even joked, Dan, when I recorded last week that I think even on his bye week, Patrick Mahomes could be the number one. He's going to find some way to put up points. So
I know.
He gets...
Even when he doesn't throw touchdown passes, he's still just... he still puts up relatively decent fantasy numbers. I mean, I just don't see him ever having a bad game. I mean, it's like watching people play Madden, but in real life. Like, I can't even, it's hard to comprehend how somebody can have that much talent, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's always number one at home against Indy, Tom Brady, two at Washington, three Russell right now, which looks like that's going to come true versus the Rams at home. Carson Wentz, four versus the Jets at home, Lamar Jackson, five at Pittsburgh. Six, Deshaun Watson, home versus Atlanta. Seven, Aaron Rodgers at Dallas. Eight, Kyler Murray at Cincinnati. Nine, Dak Prescott, home, Green Bay. 10, Matt Ryan at Houston. 11, Jameis Winston at New Orleans. 12, Jacoby Brissett at Kansas City. 13, Jared Goff at Seattle. 14, Andy Dalton, home versus the Cardinals. 15, Phillip Rivers, home versus Denver. 16, Baker Mayfield at San Fran. 17, Jimmy G versus Cleveland at home. 18, Kyle Allen, home versus the Jags. 19, Kirk Cousins at New York. 20, Daniel Jones versus Minnesota. 21, Gardner Minshew at Carolina. 22, Marcus Mariota, home Buffalo. 23, Joe Flacco at LA.
Mr. Elite.
Yeah, 24, Teddy Bridgewater, home Tampa Bay, and 25, Chase Daniel at Oakland. So, Dan, I've got notes on a couple quarterbacks. What ones do you want to talk about before I go into my notes?
The one guy who really jumps out to me is Lamar Jackson. This is going to be a very interesting game because now Lamar Jackson, I think, has finally established receivers with Hollywood Brown. Boykin looked good last week. That running game is rolling with Mark Ingram. A little bit of a downside last week, but I expect that to kind of be to maybe have a bounce back. This is going to be a big test for him because I think the Steelers defense is, not because I'm a homer, but I think they're underrated. I think they're better than they've been, and they've been pretty darn good. Oh, so this is going to be a big test.
Since they got Minkah Fitzpatrick, it seems like not only do they have the pressure up front now, but they've got a pretty complete secondary at this point.
Yeah, and honestly, as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I can't even remember the last time since we've had Troy Polamalu back there where we can say we've had a pretty complete defensive backfield. But at the same time, Lamar Jackson has shown that he's a legit dual-threat quarterback. He's been passing the ball way better than we've ever seen him do that before. So this is going to be a true test. I could see him actually dropping out of the top 10, depending on how good the Steelers' defense plays. A guy who I can see jumping into the top 10? Phillip Rivers. And it's a divisional game. He's playing Denver, who just lost their big pass rusher on the outside, Chubb. So I just don't know if they're going to be able to get the pressure on him. Keenan Allen has been healthy. Keenan Allen has been good. The other thing is that this is not just the Austin Ekeler show, which has been a great show to watch, Bob. Don't get me wrong. It's been a spectacular show to watch. But I also think with Melvin Gordon back, maybe the running game is a little bit better than it was. Maybe. But it also, now you've not only going to have to worry about Melvin Gordon, you've got to worry about Austin Ekeler. And I just have a feeling, some way, somehow, that Phillip Rivers down there at 15 could make a jump into the top 10 by the end of Sunday night, Bob.
Yeah, so a couple of quarterbacks that I have notes on. Number three, Russell Wilson. And, I mean, what else can you say about
looking
this guy?
Looking pretty great.
Yeah, I'll give some stats behind it. He's been one of the most accurate quarterbacks over his entire year and amongst most of his career, actually. He leads the league, you know, and I looked at qualified quarterbacks with the completion percentage at 72.9%, and he looks like every bit of that right now as we're watching it. He sits at 10th in passing yards per game at 285.2. Now he's up to 10 touchdowns and no interceptions. The Rams defense got torched last week by famous Jameis for 385 and four. So Russell looks to be on a way to four touchdowns. Looks well within his possibilities right now based on the start that he's put out there. And, you know, I put in the notes, expect a typical dynamic Wilson game featuring his main targets like Lockett and Disley. Lockett already scored. Disley had a big game. Metcalf got a touchdown. So
I really think Metcalf is I drafted him. He's a rookie. He's had up and down games. But I think by the end of the season, this is going to be a situation where people are going to be saying, maybe I should be thinking about at least flexing DK Metcalf on a regular basis, because the running game is great. And that touchdown pass, for all of you who are out there watching it, was set up off of the running game. Play action with DK Metcalf going deep, and Russell dropped the dime right on him. So I think really in the future, I think DK Metcalf's going to be a breakout star.
Yeah, I mean, he has the size for it, that's for sure. Six, I'm going to go down to Deshaun Watson, home versus Atlanta. The Falcons' defense is 9th in total yards allowed at 324.8 per game and 7th in passing yards allowed at 215.2. However, the weird part is the defense is good in yardage, but they can't get to the quarterback, being tied for the second worst in the league with only 5 sacks. So we talked on the previous episode a few days back how Deshaun Watson is one of the highest sack quarterbacks in the league.
Yep.
He's now sitting at third. He's been sacked 18 times. That's now behind Kyler Murray and Andy Dalton after Pittsburgh destroyed Dalton. To me, this will be a telling game because if the Falcons can get to Deshaun Watson, with being a very low sack team, I'm going to have some real concerns because I even brought up in the previous podcast, can this offensive line's performance basically limit what the offense can do? So to me, this will be a litmus test because you're going against a team that while they don't give up the yardage, they don't get sacks either. So something's going to have to bend here. So I'm curious to watch this one in a little more detail.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, it's one of those ideas where you're throwing the concept out there, an immovable object against an unstoppable force. You know what I mean? One of these things is going to give eventually. So you're the worst defense at getting to the quarterback going up against the quarterback who sacked nearly the most in the league. So I'm a little concerned that it's not necessarily going to be a problem for them to get to the quarterback because of how terrible the offensive line has been for Houston. But this could be the test for Houston's offensive line. Like if they can step up big time and keep things going and give Watson time, he'll be able to get those deep balls to guys like Hopkins and Will Fuller. Like, because that's what makes that offense dynamic. And the running game's not been there. Hyde has been okay, but I don't think we'd ever be saying at this point that I think the Houston Texans are really missing Lamar Miller, Bob.
Yeah, not at all. And then the last one, I had some notes on Jacoby Brissett, number 12 at Kansas City. Did you know that he's currently tied for the lead league in passing TD so far this year with 10? Now he's tied with Wilson, Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson. I don't think people realize how good he is at getting the ball in the end zone.
And I think we've had this conversation before because, you know, my wife also plays fantasy and we're in a couple leagues together. And Brissett is a name that she's routinely saying, what do you think about Brissett? I was like, he can be good. I think it's matchup dependent. I think he has an opportunity to kind of, I mean, let's be honest, I don't think anyone expected him to be the starter this year. The Andrew Luck thing was a complete shock, but he's been serviceable. I think it'll really depend on whether they can get the running game going. And if Marlon Mack can play, then, you know, that kind of helps Brissett. But I think he can put up numbers. Obviously, he already has. And Kansas City's defense is not it's not a defense that you cannot score on. Right. It's not they have an amazing offense, but they don't necessarily have a defense that kind of runs or holds steady with the caliber of talent they have on the offense. I mean, the Lions kind of ran all over them and passed all over them, frankly. So, I mean, if T.Y. Hilton can get loose, if guys like Deion Kane can step up, Eric Ebron, I think there's a chance for Brissett to have a big day for sure.
Yeah, so he's doing all this scoring while he's 19th in passing yards with 911. The Chiefs give up 7 passing touchdowns, allowing a little under 259 yards per game. Obviously, having no T.Y. Hilton could hurt, but I expect, regardless, for them to need to pass to keep up. So I expect them to get in the end zone at least 2 times. So, and what could be a shootout? You could do a lot worse if you're afraid of some other matchups for the guys that we have listed below that. So those were the quarterbacks that I had notes for. Dan shared some of his thoughts on his. Let's move on to the running backs.
Running back.
At number one this week, and almost like Patrick Mahomes, pretty much going to be every week, Christian McCaffrey versus Jacksonville, 2 Zeke Elliott home versus Green Bay, 3 Dalvin Cook at New York for the Giants, 4 David Johnson at Cincinnati, 5 Alvin Kamara home Tampa Bay, 6 Nick Chubb at San Fran on Monday night, Derrick Henry home Buffalo, 8 Chris Carson home LA Rams, 9 Fournette at Carolina, 10 Todd Gurley at Seattle, 11 James Conner, and there's an asterisk because if he's not healthy, that could be a problem, but right now he's home versus Baltimore, 12 Mark Ingram, same game at Pittsburgh, 13 Lev Bell at Philly, 14, Austin Eckler home versus Denver. 15, Aaron Jones at Dallas. 16, Marlon Mack at Kansas City. 17, Joe Mixon home Arizona. 18, David Montgomery playing Oakland over the pond. 19, Devonta Freeman at Houston. 20, James White at Washington. 21, Philip Lindsay at LA. 22, LeSean McCoy, tentative because it looks like Damian Williams, but right now he's home versus Indy. 23, Melvin Gordon home Denver. 24, Miles Sanders at the Jets. And 25, Sony Michel at Washington. Dan, what say you about some of these players on the running back rankings this week?
It pains me to see Sony Michel at 25, especially when they're playing Washington. You should expect that to be higher. But it's just so much uncertainty in that Patriots backfield. We talk about it all the time. We thought that, you know, Sony had done enough to kind of establish himself as the lead back, but it just seems like they will not quit Burkhead whatsoever. The Kansas City backfield's a conundrum as well with injuries. You know, you don't really know who's injured, who's not, who's practicing, who's going to start. This has turned into what we thought was a situation where Damian Williams was going to be the legit number one. Shady goes in there, has had decent games, good enough to be a serviceable flex play in several situations.
Right.
He could be injured. I think this is going to be a week where you're getting a big bounce back from Dalvin Cook, who was held in check by Chicago. I don't necessarily feel like the Giants will be able to do enough to stop them. But the other question is that with all of the complaining coming from the receivers. I mean, there were Thielen coming out. You'd never heard from Thielen before saying we have to throw the ball. We've got to be more dynamic in the passing game. Kirk Cousins needs to step up and actually throw the ball down the field. To the speculation that because Stephon Diggs missed practice earlier this week that he's all of a sudden being traded. They just paid both those guys big time contracts in the offseason. So I'd be shocked if they just gave up on Stephon Diggs at this point. But I think those three, four, five, Dalvin Cook, David Johnson, Alvin Kamara, I think we can get bounce back games from all those. And by bounce back with David Johnson, I mean the running game's going to be there, hopefully against Cincinnati. I mean, the passing game is going to be there. Those checkdowns and those PPR catches are nice to have, but you really want him to be that dual threat running back that you get week in and week out with McCaffrey. You haven't been getting that. You've been getting a decent receiver. You've not gotten a good running back, which is where you drafted him for in that first round. Another guy who just kind of, you know, tickles my fancy a little bit is Lev Bell. Honestly, I think he's playing with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I think the quarterback situation is hurting him. But I think they just need to get back to the basics with that guy. Give him passes out of the backfield. Just get him as many touches as he can, and that's the way your offense is going to run. So I look for a bounce-back game out of him as well.
Yeah, and I actually have some notes on him. So let me go from the top down to Zeke Elliott. I mean, just a reminder, not that you need to have any reason why you're starting Zeke Elliott, but this Green Bay team just got diced by the Philadelphia Eagles rushing attack, primarily Howard and Sanders, to the tune of 33 rushes, 176 yards. That's 5.3 per rush, while Howard put in three scores by himself. So if you were sitting there waiting and saying, boy, I haven't really got that true Zeke explosion that I saw last year where he's getting it done in the running for big yards and touchdowns and the receiving, I think this is where you're getting it. I just put a note. I'm feeling like he could get towards 140 rushing yards and multiple touchdowns. Running on this defense is so much easier than passing on it. So, I mean, not that you need a reason, but just to reiterate. Number six, Nick Chubb at San Francisco. Chubb just lit up the once vaunted Ravens defense to the tune of 20 for 165. That's 8.2 per clip and three touchdowns. So,
yowza.
I think this was the game, Dan. I know we've said it on multiple, week reviews that we do, the instant reviews, and even on the Real or Fake. Like, boy, if you're a Chubb owner where you're saying, boy, he's just going to get all the work, he's going to dominate, you probably felt like, I'm not getting what I thought I should.
Right.
That was the game that I think people were waiting for. But up next, the reason I wanted to bring this up is a sneaky good 49ers defense on Monday night that's only allowing 75 yards per game on the ground and an average of 3.4 yards per rush. So they've also not let up a rushing touchdown this year. sort of like Zeke. You're going to start Chubb. It's no question. He's one of the elite workhorses out there. But don't let it completely shock you if the 49ers defense can control him a little bit. So just want to throw out that disclaimer out there. I expect big things, but just don't be caught off guard too much if he's slowed down a little bit against what looks to be a sneaky 49ers defense that I don't know if people are really paying attention to.
Yeah, I agree. And I think last week was kind of his finally your coming out party, you know what I mean? And I think he needs to keep playing like this because let's not forget the Kareem Hunt is kind of waiting in the wings there. He's going to come back from that suspension. And they got rid of Duke Johnson. So now it's basically Kareem Hunt. And I think Chubb has shown so far that he deserves the bulk of the carries. But right now, I think you need to be cashing in on your Nick Chubb stock just because I don't know how long it's going to last with Kareem Hunt kind of waiting in the wings there.
See, I don't think Chubb, unless if injuries or a complete downturn, is going to be phased. Because you got to figure Hunt's not back until, what, week 9? And I think they have a bye around there. So, but, yeah, I mean, if he keeps exploding like this, there's going to be no concerns. But, yeah, the last one you sort of touched on, it, Lev Bell at 13. It looks like Luke Falk's still going to be the quarterback. I think they really want to make sure Darnold's ready with the mono and everything else that he has concerns with. So I expect the Jets to lean completely on Lev Bell. I just think this Philly defense is really good against the run, so I think they're going to have to lean on him in the receiving game, which he's more than capable of. The Eagles are fourth overall, allowing only 62 rushing yards per game. Le'Veon Bell leads the Jets and is tied with Jamison Crowder with 20 receptions. So while the rushing could be tough, I wouldn't be surprised if Lev Bell gets 8 to 10 dump-off pass catches. So I think that's really what's helped carry his extreme value in any leagues that give PPR is that pass-catching ability. So it could be tough sledding against the run. Like I said, Eagles are fourth overall, only allowing 62 rushing yards per game. But I think he's going to catch enough passes to where his value, just his floor is so high, even in tough matchups like this.
For sure.
So, yeah, that goes over the notes that we had for running backs. Dan, let's move over to the wide receivers.
Wide receiver.
Number one this week, Julio Jones at Houston. Two, Keenan Allen, home Denver. Three, DeAndre Hopkins at Atlanta. Four, Michael Thomas, home versus Tampa Bay. Five, Cooper Kupp going right now at Seattle. It doesn't look good so far, but we'll talk about it. Six, Chris Godwin at New Orleans. Seven, Amari Cooper, home Green Bay. Eight, Odell at San Fran. Nine, Mike Evans at New Orleans. 10, Tyler Lockett, who I'm sure people that listen have watched it, but if not, catch his touchdown, the first touchdown of the game, which was insanity. Yowza. That he kept his feet in and made that catch.
Yowza.
11, Julian Edelman at Washington. 12, Adam Thielen at New York. I know what you're going to say. Didn't you guys say you're extremely down on him? Yeah, but the matchup's there, and I think the squeaky wheel is going to get the oil this week. So while I've been down on him the whole time, you got to acknowledge the matchup and the way he came out against what they're doing on offense. So don't be surprised if this is the week he blows up.
Mm-hmm.
13, Larry Fitz at Cincinnati. 14, Juju, home Baltimore. 15, Sammy Watkins. That could be something that moves if Tyreek Hill keeps getting ramped up versus Indy.
Yeah, I know.
16, Bobby Woods at Seattle. 17, Brandon Cooks at Seattle. 18, Josh Gordon at Washington. 19, Tyler Boyd versus Arizona at home. 20, Stephon Diggs at New York. 21, Alshon versus the Jets. 22, Marquez Valdez-Scantling at Dallas. 23, Allen Robinson over the pond against Oakland. And 24, DJ Moore at home versus Jacksonville. 25, Cortland Sutton at the Chargers. So, Dan, general thoughts on any wide receivers that you have here?
I like Marquez Valdez-Scantling a lot this week. And it has a lot to do with the injury to Davante Adams. He's not expected to play, and people aren't at least looking for him to play. And even if he does, in some way, somehow, pull a miracle out of his hat and gets on the field, he's just not going to be the same player. And I think the clear number two, I know people are kind of hot on Geronimo Allison. I think the clear number two on the team has been Marquez Dotto-Scantling. He's been decent in the deep game. So if he has the opportunity now to come out and be the number one, and I understand that Dallas's defense is decent, I feel like he has a real opportunity to kind of jump a bunch of people in these rankings. Especially, I mean, let's look at it. What you need is, you know, the volume, the targets, and a good quarterback to throw you the ball. With Devontae Adams out, I think that's where it's going to kind of land on Valdez-Scantling. I like him a lot this week. You probably drafted enough people not to have him as your starter, but I love him this week as a flex play, frankly. And so that guy, and big down game last week from Tyler Boyd. I expect to bounce back from him. And also a big bounce back, I think, this week, somehow, some way. I know he's going against Richard Sherman and a pretty decent San Francisco defense, but I just have a feeling in my gut that Odell Beckham's going to come out firing this week, and they're going to be looking to get him the ball early and often. And I just expect him to kind of do what he does in a big time, you know, setting, prime time, Monday Night Football. Odell Beckham, I expect him to be spectacular Monday night. I like him a lot this week. And Larry Fitz, that Cincinnati defense is not
putrid.
Not good. So if this is going to be a time where Kyler Murray is going to step up and show you what he can do in terms of a passing game, this is the week for him to do it. This is his best opportunity to take care of that and show you what he can do through the air. I think it seems to me like anytime he's looking to throw the ball and he doesn't have much time to do that, he's looking to Larry Fitz. So I expect a nice game out of Larry Fitz this week as well.
So, Dan, before I give my notes, on a scale from good to Greg, where would you rank the Cincinnati defense at?
Greg!
Yeah. Sorry, it's an inside joke that only our group and league mates will completely understand. So, yeah, I want to go back up to 5, Cooper Kupp. And, you know, if you're watching it, we're pretty much 38 seconds left in the second half. It's not really showing, but we got to stop ignoring the facts with this guy. Cooper Kupp, when healthy, is an elite wide receiver one, not only in fantasy, but for real football. He currently, at the time before this game when I was putting together my notes, ranks second in yards at 388, fourth in receptions at 32, third in yards per game at 97, and tied second in touchdowns at 3. So he's always been a touchdown magnet when Goff needs him. He was on pace for, I believe, 12 to 14 touchdowns before he got injured last year. And I know every week we always talk about all three wide receivers are valuable and can be started, and you can expect very good things. And at some point, you're going to get great things from every one of them. Kupp, to me, is now the most consistent and a guy that I'm leaning on if I have on my team.
No, I agree. I said something about him on, you know, Monday whenever we got together. He's been I traded for him this year in a full point PPR league. He's been nothing but a stud, routinely getting me as many as 30 points a game. I mean, this guy is a fantasy stud. I tried to trade for him in our league last year, and then he came down with an injury that kind of undermined the whole trade. But unfortunately, I think this is a situation where the guy who we had expected to kind of jump in and have huge games, specifically Brandon Cooks, might be on the outside looking in a little bit, because it looks to me a lot more that we're getting a lot more play and fantasy action out of Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, Bob.
Yep, and with a name like Bob Woods, I'm a fan. So, yeah, 19. Actually, two players you touched on, I had detailed notes on. 19, Tyler Boyd versus Arizona. Maybe it's been a quiet season because Boyd has yet to get into the end zone. But if you look deeper at his stats, he's tied for 6 in the league in receptions with 27. Where it hurts him is that he's only got 283 receiving yards. That's 10.5 per catch, and he's not been in the end zone. So the quote-unquote, you know, PPR stats are there, but the yards and the receptions are where the killer is at. Now, right. The Cardinals give up the 10th most yards per game to wide receiver at 289.5. with John Ross now on the IR, and you've got, you know, a guy that seems to be on the upswing, but to me still unproven in Auden Tate, and you don't know when AJ Green's coming back. I think this is the week where he gets just peppered with targets, and I think he's going to be getting into the end zone. I think he's a little overdue with how much he's getting play in that passing attack. So,
a lot of people hope you're right, Bob.
Yeah. And then 22, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you brought it up. So the Cowboys are top 10 in receiving yards per game allowed at 241.5, but they've allowed the sixth most receptions at 102. So they keep things in front of them, but they seem to be vulnerable to allowing catches to pile up. So you said it with Davante Adams seemingly out for the game with his toe injury. He's not yet ruled out, but I doubt that he plays. I think MBS does go into the lead receiver spot. The question is, how valuable is that going to be for you this week? I mean, you always want to, in the past, start any lead receiver for Aaron Rodgers. The expectations might not be as high as they've been in the past, but, you know, if he's going to be the number one, and if Aaron Rodgers can build on what happened last week, yeah, to your point, I think this is a guy you can look at and start and hope that he gets that number one wide receiver treatment from Aaron Rodgers, so...
For sure.
So those are the notes on the wide receivers. Let's move on to the tight ends.
Tight end.
At one this week, Travis Kelce versus the Colts. Two, Evan Engram versus the Vikings. Three, George Kittle versus the Cleveland Browns. And right on cue, just tracking back, Cooper Kupp gets into the end zone. So thanks for backing up my stats there, Kupp.
Hi-oh.
Four, Austin Hooper at Houston. Five, Darren Waller. In London versus the Bears. Six, Zach Ertz home versus the Jets. Seven, Mark Andrews at Pittsburgh. Eight, Will Disley home versus the Rams. Nine, Greg Olsen versus the Jags at home. 10, Delanie Walker home, Buffalo. 11, Tyler Eifert at home versus the Cardinals. 12, Eric Ebron at Kansas City. 13, Jimmy the P. Graham at Dallas. 14, O.J. Howard at New Orleans. 15, Jason Witten home, Green Bay. 16, Vernon Davis could be injured, so that could move. But for right now, he's home versus New England. 17, Jack Doyle at Kansas City. 18, Jared Cook home, Tampa Bay. 19, Trey Burton at Oakland. 20, Gerald Everett at Seattle. 21, Ricky Seals-Jones at San Francisco. 22, Noah Fant at the Chargers. 23, Dawson Knox at Tennessee. 24, Kyle Rudolph at the Giants. And 25, Dallas Goedert versus the Jets at home. And can I say something, that once you get past the top 10 right now, it's very hard to really field 25. But
right.
Dan, who do you want to talk about on your end from the tight ends?
I could see Eric Ebron having a decent game against the Chiefs. Again, that defense is a little bit porous. And with Jacoby Brissett, maybe without Marlon Mack, maybe doing a little bit more of the they looked pretty good when they were doing the 2-minute drill last week. So, you know, maybe, and he had the long bomb to Ebron last week. Unfortunately, I was playing somebody who had him, which I remember that play very well now. So that guy, I could see him having a decent week. A guy who's playing right now, who I think we probably did not give any credit to at the beginning of the year, and who we all, I think, need to be paying attention to, is Whistling Will Disley. I mean, he hasn't gotten the end zone yet tonight, but I expect him to get a touchdown. Like, I'm not going to be surprised when he gets one. Russell Wilson looks his way early and often, and it's one of those things where he is routinely scoring you a decent amount of fantasy points from a position where you're not getting a whole heck of a lot. So again, I said this on Monday, if for some reason he's not picked up in your league, this is somebody who I'd be looking to get, not only as a bye week fill-in if I have one of these main guys, top five type of guys.
He's top 10 rest of the year.
Yeah, somebody who I would routinely play. And let's be honest, if you had Travis Kelce and then at the same time you have Will Disley, I can see a world. I did it several times last year when Jared Cook was on fire and had Gronk, where I played two tight ends at once. Travis Kelce is just like a wide receiver, if not a little bit better than most flex plays you're going to put there. So it's a situation where I think you need to pay attention to him. And again, the guy who time forgot, Delanie Walker, I can see him having a heck of a good game. That Buffalo defense is tough, though. I don't know if they're going to be able to get Derrick Henry going, and Mariota is a big question mark, but I think the best and most reliable option on that in the receiving core is Delanie Walker.
Yeah, Dan, and just going back to Disley, at halftime he's sitting at 3 for 70, so he's already put up a very serviceable week at halftime.
Absolutely.
So.
Yep.
See, I'm going to go over Austin Hooper at 4. I know we've been talking about him a lot lately, but just want to reiterate it. Right now he's sitting at 3rd in the tight end rankings overall in our league of record. So based on our scoring, he has 61 fantasy points so far. He's already had multiple games with 9 receptions, which is something many tight ends cannot say. He's had at least 6 targets in every game this year, so Matt Ryan's really leaning on him. He's a must start now every week, but the Houston defense has not allowed a tight end to get into the end zone, so it could be tough sledding, but the volume's there. I'm going to believe in the breakout that's sort of picked up from last year is just in full effect. So while the matchup's tough, wouldn't be scared. He's one of the more heavily used tight ends out there right now. Number 11, Tyler Eifert. Yeah, this doesn't sound right, but it's totally a case of the matchup that he is playing against. Every tight end against the Arizona Cardinals gets into the end zone. That's just a factual statement so far this year. Multiple tight ends have gone over 100 yards receiving. So you're either looking at 100 yards receiving and a touchdown, or under that and at least a touchdown, possibly two. So while Eifert only has 11 receptions for 81 yards and a touchdown, he would be that guy if I just want to have that glory play where I'm not sure, I don't have really a good tight end, and he's sitting on the waivers, and you know what, I want to knuckle up and try and play the matchups. I think this is it, because the question is, can the Cardinals finally stop a tight end from getting into the end zone? This is going to be the one where you're going to see. But
right.
But their history so far through four weeks tells me Tyler Eifert's at least scoring a touchdown this week. So 13, Jimmy Graham. He's coming off his best game in what seems like forever. I mean, literally, it seems like you try and jog your memory and say, when else has he played like this?
Right.
It's really been a while, but he went for 6 for 61 and 1 last week against the Eagles. We already spoke about it with MVS, but Rodgers may need to lean on him more to move the chains without Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
It's always in his realm of possibility that he lays a complete goose egg. But with Devontae Adams possibly missing time, tougher Dallas defense, if you get outside of the top 10 of the tight ends, like I sort of mentioned jokingly, it becomes a total crapshoot. So if you want to ride sort of a wave of momentum, Jimmy Graham could be that with the missing piece of Devontae Adams. So
I like that, Bob. Maybe we should consider playing him this week in our Dynasty League.
I was actually going to bring that up to you probably tomorrow or Saturday. So he's very well in the possibilities here. So, Dan, do you have any others that you want to go over?
No, sir.
All right, let's close up shop by going over our top 12 defenses.
Defense.
So yeah, we do our top 12 on defenses. Like I said, you know, we're catering to 12 team leagues, and you're not going to play multiple defenses. We're going to keep reiterating it instead of getting the, well, you do 25 everywhere else. We're going to give you 12 and then pretty much play the matchup after that. But one, and I think they're getting the Patrick Mahomes of defense status, New England at Washington. I mean,
they are hot right now.
Could you ask for a better defensive matchup right now when the Redskins are not even sure yet who they want to play a quarterback this week?
No, and they're literally going to play the hottest defense in all of fantasy. I have them in a couple of leagues. I was lucky enough to snag them in my one dynasty league. I was lucky enough to just have had drafted them a while ago, and they're routinely scoring me over 20 points. I mean, it's crazy to be getting that type of production out of a defense. And I think this harkens back to that week one game against the Steelers, where they literally just shut the Steelers down completely. And we were saying, is the offense that good, or is just the defense that is our Steelers offense that bad, or is that Patriots defense that good? To me right now, it looks like that Patriots defense is just that darn good. They look spectacular right now. I mean, they are just, I mean, they kept New England in that game last week in Buffalo with scoring the defensive touchdown, blocking the kicks, all that stuff. I mean, it was clearly a defensive effort, defensive struggle throughout. And but for how spectacular both those defenses were, I don't know how that game ends. But boy, I don't know why, and I can't say enough, and it pains me to say it because it's the Pats. The defense is just top notch. So if you've got them, don't even think about dropping them, playing matchups, anything like that. You just play them, you roll them out, and frankly, I don't think it matters who they play at this point.
Yep, I agree. Philadelphia's number two versus the Jets against Luke Faulkner, it looks like. So to me, a complete type of matchup, almost like New England has. Three, Tennessee versus Buffalo against what could be Matt Barkley. Another, I mean, you're just looking at the matchups against the teams and the quarterbacks at the top three and just, to me, salivating at this point.
Right.
For Chicago, playing in London against Oakland, Chicago is always going to be top five regardless of opponent. Five, Buffalo at Tennessee. I think they could shut down Tom Brady. They can shut down Marcus Mariota, so I don't have any concerns there. And I know we've got a matchup of Tennessee and Buffalo, so I've got Tennessee, you got Buffalo in our league of records, so should be fun to see the points they could put up. Six, the Minnesota Vikings at the Giants. Seven, Carolina versus Jacksonville Jaguars. Eight, the Chargers versus Denver. Nine, Jacksonville at Carolina. 10, San Francisco versus Cleveland. 11, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. And 12, the Rams, which I know it sounds bad the way we're recording right now, but at halftime they've still only given up 14 points. We'll see how the second half goes. But I mean, really with defenses, Dan, at this point, you should be savvy enough to look at the matchups, really. To me, that's the way to do it. I never get – now the Patriots are probably the one defense this year where I'm probably a set it and forget it. Probably the Bears as well.
For sure.
But really everybody else, I'm looking, okay, if I can scope ahead and see, does this team have a favorable matchup? I'm probably playing them. I don't think there's really much more analysis that needs to go into it. What say you?
I agree with you, but the one team that kind of does concern me is Baltimore. I don't know which Baltimore defense is going to show up, and I don't know what Pittsburgh offense is going to show up. So that one is kind of a coin flip for me. I mean, it's a very interesting game. It's an exciting game. It's a big game, not only for us as Pittsburgh Steelers fans, but just across the AFC North because it's so tight right now. But that matchup is puzzling to me because I know I played a Baltimore defense in the league last week and I got negative points. So
not it's Greg.
It's Craig.
So, yeah, I mean, that really covers up our Week 5 rankings review. Like I said, I always love to sort of give some thoughts behind why we rank players where we do. So, Dan, if you're ready, let's call up the boys and let's get drafty on draft.
Let's get drafty.
If you've listened to the Not Takes Fantasy Football podcast before, you know just how much we love the draft app. We continually do best ball drafts throughout the year, and during the season, we have a weekly segment called Getting Drafty on Draft that drops every Thursday. Now we are proud to announce our affiliation with the best fantasy app out there. We would greatly appreciate if you would support our show by using our new link, draft.com/nottakes. For those of you that don't already have a FanDuel or Draft account, signing up to Draft using that link gets you a free $3 entry to any contest of your choice after your initial deposit. We personally recommend a season-long best ball draft, and trust us, when you start, you're gonna be hooked. Once you get your account situated, come challenge myself or Dan on Draft. You can find me, Bob, on Draft at NotTakesBob, that's NotTakesBob. And you can find Dan at DJBenoit33, that's DJBenwa33. Once again, our link is draft.com/nottakes, that's NotTakes. We can't wait to see you all get drafty on Draft with us.
Getting drafty on Draft.
All right, well, it's been since week one, but we finally got the crew back together to do the Getting Drafty on Draft app segment. So welcome back to the show, Craig and John. What's up, gentlemen?
What's going on, fellas?
Hello.
Hey, Bob. Welcome back.
Yeah, so I know we've communicated. There's been some personal stuff that needed to be taken care of, so we put this segment on the back burner until we could get everybody back together. But
is somebody stirring a drink right now?
I just poured a whiskey.
I also what? Just poured a whiskey.
My wow. God, boys.
now
PG.
Now I want a whiskey, so darn. So yeah, we're going to get back on. I think we're going to be able to get into a regular cadence with this moving forward. And yeah, just to recap, week one's winner was John, so off to a great start. So the rest of us have some making up to do. But outside of that, everybody ready to rock and roll and get our first draft in a month ready to roll?
Indeed.
Sure, it's also a Greg start.
A real Greg start. So
that's debatable.
All right, so I'm sending it your guys' way here in just a second, and we will get this thing rolling. So as I'm setting up the draft, the way we do this is we play the contest on the draft app, and it's one quarterback, two running backs, two pass catchers. And what we do to try and throw a variable in there is one of the pass catchers has to be projected to be under 10 points. So add some variability so we're not just taking stars in a four-person contest. So, all right. So we sent the draft out to the guys, and now everybody has accepted. And the draft order, as we wait for the draft to start, I am at the one spot. John is at the two spot. Craig is three. And Dan has the turn here. So,
finally.
All right.
Yeah, it's not going to help you any.
Well, thanks for the support, Craig.
No one cares.
I thought we were friends.
Nope.
They have to go make it all personal.
Heavy air quotes out of friends.
All right, so we've got 12 more seconds, and I'll just make this one really transparent. Once the draft starts, I'm immediately choosing Christian McCaffrey, so we'll just get that out of the way. And 3, 2, 1. So, John, you are on the clock at 2.
Cool. I get the pick.
Someone you dropped to me.
Yeah, we talked about Zeke. He should blow up. And Dalvin Cook. That's pretty much our 1-2-3. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. It was between the two of them, and I think that Green Bay matchup is nice for running backs.
Oh, I love Dalvin Cook.
I'll take Mr. Kamara.
Oh, that Alvin Kamara.
You know it. And then give me... I'll actually take... I never get any party Keenan Allen. I'll take Keenan Allen.
Yeah, and the disappointment as we're waiting for Craig to draft is the draft doesn't include the Sunday night game. So I just reminded myself as I'm scrolling through for Kansas City Chief players. I was like, oh.
Blast.
How come usually we have it go through Monday night, don't we?
Yeah, it's weird. It starts at 1 o'clock but ends on the late afternoon games, it looks like. So I don't know if that's a change on their end, but so Craig.
So it's the main slate.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So Craig took Lev Bell with his second pick.
Never get peace with him. I was really interested this week.
I'll take Julio.
John with Julio. Let's see here. So I am back up. I'm going David Johnson in a smash spot against a weak defense. And let's look at the wide receivers. He just can't be held down this long. DeAndre Hopkins has to come to life here eventually.
I thought I might get him. Oh, boy. Is it going to be a Godwin week, or is it going to be a Mike Evans week?
I hope it's a Chris Godwin week, by the way. I'm just going to put that out there.
Oh, you know what? I can't take one of them. Sorry.
Oh, you already have your high pass catcher.
Yep. So I'll take Lamar.
And you know what? I'm going to say it's a Mike Evans week.
Yeah, that was what I was leaning.
I own a lot of him.
I'm going to go with... I feel like he's going to bounce back. I love this guy. I've rode this guy so far this season. Give me some Mark Ingram.
Marky Mark.
That's right. We're going to get funky.
And some Wildcat.
And for QB, let me see. I'm gonna do a little bit of a stack. I was talking about him earlier, Bob. Go off beat the path a little bit. I'll take Phillip Rivers.
Wait, Phil what?
Whoop,
yep. Whoop.
Read my mind, Dan. I'm stacking with Jameson.
Nice. So I'm gonna jump on the sub 10 guys. He just missed a huge week last week. I'm going with Will Fuller.
So if we're talking stacks, I'm going to Sean Watson to pair with DeAndre Hopkins. And now I gotta pick a sub 10 receiving option here. Boy. You know what? I'll see if Geronimo Allison stays hot against the Cowboys since Devontae looks to not be playing. I'll go with him.
It's funny. I was looking at MVS and I realized he was at 10.2 points, so I couldn't grab him.
Yeah, he was the one I was actually eyeing up and then realized the same thing.
So I'm curious, who do you guys think is going to get the running back work for the Chargers this weekend? Because I think I'm going to bet on Austin Eckler more week.
I still think it's Eckler.
I think
too.
Eckler. Yeah.
I think it's Eckler too.
Yep. Okay, so I'm in between a homer pick and a reality pick. Homer. I'm going to go with the homer pick.
Deontay?
That's right.
Yep. Yes, sir.
My name right now. And you know what? I feel like that he is bound to explode at some point. He's too good not to play. I know he's a little bit banged up. I'm going to take some risk with him. I'm going to go this guy.
Yeah, Dan, he's actually the other guy I was looking at, Josh Gordon.
Gordon. Nice.
All right.
That's so, make a draft, Antonio Brown.
Hell of a matchup.
Yeah, it's almost curious, like, are they going to be able to just do whatever they want and then run the ball a lot? It's I guess that's the way a lot of their games are going to go, but if obviously they're going to be able to do whatever they want. That's just a fact, so. All right, so it feels good to get a draft through. I'm going to go ahead since I was at the one spot and recap my team first. I picked the no-brainer. We talked about him in the rankings, Christian McCaffrey. Don't need to say any more about that. David Johnson, just think he's in a smash spot against a weak Cincinnati defense. I think he's going to get it receiving, and to Dan's point you mentioned earlier, he's going to get it rushing. DeAndre Hopkins was my next pick. He's just too good to be shut down the way he is. Stacked him with Deshaun Watson, and then my sub 10 point projected receiving option, Geronimo Allison, just because I don't think Devontae Adams is going to play, so see if he stays hot. So that's my team. John, you're out of the two spot. Why don't you go ahead and recap yours?
Nice. I went with Ezekiel Elliott for my first round pick. I just think that Green Bay defense is a funnel for running backs. I went with Julio Jones in my second spot. The number one receivers against Houston have succeeded all year. I'm hoping it continues this week. Lamar Jackson with my third, because if you can't go with Mahomes, go with the second best option. And then I followed it up with Austin Eckler and Will Fuller as my sub 10 guy. I really think Will Fuller is primed for a big week one of these weeks if Watson starts hitting his deep balls.
Craig, why don't you go ahead and recap yours from the third spot?
Sure. Yeah, so I start with Dalvin Cook. I really think he's, going to have a great game against the Giants. Then we'll have Lev Bell. Never really got a piece of him that much in draft. Don't have interest in this Philly match, but I think he's strong for him. Then I went with Evans and the Winston stack, excuse me. I really think those two against New Orleans can be a shootout that game. I think there's a lot of options. Maybe if I get burned by Godwin, who knows. But my last pick was Deontay Johnson for the Steelers. It was a homer pick. And between him and Mark Andrews, who might turn our defense apart, but defense is looking strong. I'm going homer defense this week, so go Steelers.
And Dan, wrap us up from the four spot.
Yeah, so I took Kamara as my number one running back. That Tampa Bay defense didn't show me anything that makes me think they'll be able to stop this guy this week. I expect him to have a big game. Maybe a little bit of a risky pick with Mark Ingram, but he's been so solid, and I know he's going to get the touches. I have a feeling he can actually they'll be able to produce to some degree against the Steelers defense, which I think is, like I said earlier, very much underrated. But I went with Keenan Allen to have a big week against Denver, and for Phillip Rivers to have a big week. That pass rush is all banged up, so hopefully that translates to big-time points out of that Chargers offense. And then my sub-10 pick. he's just too talented, and he has never had a quarterback this talented to play with. He's bound to explode. He's playing Washington. They've been awful. I just expect Josh Gordon, if he's healthy, hopefully he stays healthy enough to play this week, to maybe explode on the scene a little bit.
Let's go Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, just picked him up in our league of records, so I'd love that too, John. So yeah, that gets us back in the Getting Drafty with the Draft App segment. It was good to get the guys back on. We should be good to go from here on out, so we'll keep a running tab of the records. But gentlemen, let's go ahead and enjoy the rest of this good Seahawks and Rams game.
Hey, good luck this weekend, fellas.
Good luck. Thanks, gentlemen.
Guys. You too. Take care, guys. Boy, it felt good to get another draft segment in, Dan. What say you?
No, I hear you, man. It was nice to get back at it, hear the guys, and run through that draft real quick. Hopefully it ends up with me at the W at the end of Sunday night here, but we'll have to just wait and see, I suppose.
Yeah, so once again, thanks again to all the followers, listeners, and we tried to communicate that our schedule was a little out of whack. It was for very good reasons why it was, but I think now, Dan, I think you'd agree we're going to be on a strong pattern like we were previous. So expect us to get back in that rhythm, and thanks again for the support. But let's go ahead and close this show. So once again, follow us Twitter and Instagram at NotTakesFF, NotTakesFF, Twitter and Instagram. Feel free to email us NotTakesFF@gmail.com. Visit our podcast homepage, anchor.fm/NotTakesFF. That's anchor.fm/NotTakesFF. You can listen to us there, follow us there. You can get links to every one of the 12 platforms that we're on. So that way, if you like and only listen on one platform, more than likely we're on it. Get the direct link to it. Make sure any platform that you're on, you're subscribing. That way, as we get back into the real swing of things, you're getting the 3 episodes a week every time we drop them. For those that listen on Apple Podcasts, please give us 15 seconds. If you like what we do, give us a 5-star rating. But most importantly, type up a review. Like I said, we go back to the one guy that said, hey, dealing with some audio issues, I finally got fed up with it to realize, you know what, hey, it's probably just my internet. Comcast, you need to step up your game. So I think we've got that solution in place moving forward. And also Clipcast. Check us out on the Clipcast website, Clipcast app. I know they've been doing a great job pushing out clips. They just released our Adam Thielen thoughts this week, so they're doing great. So if you like to search about a specific player, no better platform. And Dan, shout out your brother so we can close up this show in style.
Yes, that song, it's been with us from the jump. It's called Alma. If you like what he does, check him out on the SoundCloud. He's That Dude Tom. He's a super talented guy. He does all that music himself, from the guitar to the bass to the drums. It's pretty impressive. Big shout out to him for letting us use that. Keep up the good work, my man.
And Dan, we'll get together Sunday as we give our instant reaction to the Week 5 slate. But until then, my friend, I will talk to you later and hope that you go down this week.
Yeah. Good luck, my friend.
Later.
Good luck. Later.